Anyway, good morning to you all who wasn't here, who weren't here yet when I said good morning. I saw some people walking in after. So good morning to you. God is good. A few days ago it was black, now it's white. So we will have a white Christmas, I guess, after all. Last week I started my sermon on the foundation of that no man can lay any other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now the tools or the materials that you use to build upon this foundation have nothing to do with your salvation, but all to do with rewards. So, and depending on what you use to build on that foundation, you will be rewarded. If you do not build with good materials, you will, even in this life, have despair. You'll still be saved. Remember, the salvation part is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. But the building may fall, the building, not the foundation. If storms come, you might not be able to withstand. So, but before I go into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace again this morning, for giving us another morning. Lord Jesus, this time I lift up Rick Platt to you, Lord, that he lost his wife. Lord, you will comfort him with a comfort that you can only comfort. You'll bless the Heberts on their travel. Lord Jesus, you'll be with them there and back from Alberta. So bless them, be with them. You'll bless us this morning, Lord Jesus, with an acute understanding of what you want from us and how we ought to follow you, Lord Jesus, that we make wise choices, Lord Jesus. This Christmas season, you will help us, to give us the ability, Lord, a spirit-filled ability to follow you in a way that it is not possible for us to do in the flesh. So be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. And you may be seated. So I'm just going to reread the first, what my message was about. This was for those who weren't here. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. I'll just repeat. This is, there are so much you can teach on in this scripture that it's unbelievable, but I'll just cover the surface and I'll go a little bit deeper on into it towards the end of my message. Starting with the 11th verse, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So he's talking to believers who've laid that foundation. Your foundation is laid. It's Jesus Christ. But now it's the choice. You can build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, and then the other ones, which are not too good, is wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. By what fire? I'll answer that too. And the fire shall try every man's work. What fire will try the work? Where is the fire coming from? For what sort it is? If any man's work abide wherewith he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. This is about rewards, not salvation. That is taken care of. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Because none of us would make it in. If this was talking about salvation, I can tell you this, we're all in trouble. But this is not talking about salvation, this is talking about rewards. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. You will get nothing. But you yourself, he himself, shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So that fire, that same fire that will burn off your bad things that you did, that did not give you any rewards, will also purify you, just as the blood of Jesus Christ has purified you now. So the first part was the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And then Paul lists the material, obviously, which you can build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or which are valuable and have a lasting effect, or wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, which are temporary, ordinary, or cheap. So when building your life, build with things that will last and have eternal value. So I'm going to go into the building part. Now, we all know when a building gets built and there's inspectors that come and build and inspect your building. Rob would know about this. We all know. I did a building to my house. An inspector came and inspected every phase. And if you didn't pass that phase, he would tell you what to redo, and then you could continue building. So this is sort of an analogy or in what it is to the spirit, in the spiritual side of things. It'll happen the same way. But did you know that there are more in the States, especially, there's more houses that are being destroyed by termites than tornadoes? So it's the little things that can destroy you. Big things we sometimes prepare and we know what to do, but it's the little things that destroy more things in your life than the big things. So that just means that we should be a wise master builder, know the material, and we should be like a wise master builder that knows the materials he must use to even withstand a tornado. But remember, there's the termites. But on the other hand, doubt, unbelief, not trusting in the supernatural providences of God may be contributing to the cheap materials you are using to build on that foundation. So watch what you're using to build upon that foundation, because when the storms will come, and they will come in this life, so you do not crumble and fall to the point of despair. Usually not big things, but little things that tear us down. In verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In verse 8, he says that each will receive his own reward for building, depending on how you build upon that foundation. We don't all do the same job or have the same gifts, but each is just as important. So none of us is less than the other. God wants to use you. Paul and Apollos were human beings. They were not supernatural beings. They were human, and God used them as instruments for his kingdom. So God uses human instruments to be his hands and his feet. Jesus used ordinary men and women. And God wants to use you and me. Now let's talk a little bit about the building inspection. Anyone who has ever built knows what a home inspection is. It means what it says, building inspection. All the work is examined by an inspector, and he determines on whether your building passes on to the next phase. Now, a lot of us have been taught that this is how God will inspect, and I know this firsthand because that's how I was brought up. We picture a long line in eternity and a set of scales, all your good works on one side and all your bad deeds on the other. If your good outweighs your bad, you go to heaven. If the bad outweighs the good, you are sent to hell. And this is not what the Bible teaches at all. There are two judgments, and this is coming to the part of judging what you have done and how you have built upon this foundation. There's the great white throne judgment talked about for the unbeliever, talked about in Revelation 20:11, and then there's the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and talked about in Romans 14:10, also 2 Corinthians 5:10. I did not put the scriptures up. For believers, the purpose of judgment is not to determine whether or not you go to heaven. I'll repeat that. For believers who believe in Jesus Christ, the purpose of judgment is not to determine whether or not you go to heaven. Your eternal destiny is determined long before you leave this earth. That decision has to be made while you are on earth. So it's much the same as flying to a far country. You have your eternal destination, that is. It's the same as flying to a different country, faraway country. You have to have the ticket and passport before you can board that plane. So this is the same as going to heaven. You cannot go to heaven unless you have the passport and the ticket to get into heaven. And that has to happen somewhere before you pass on. So make sure you have that ticket, and it's called Jesus Christ. He's the door through into that kingdom. He's the only one you can walk through. There is no other way among men whereby we must be saved, only the name of Jesus. So the purpose now is to give an account for our lives. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is now. It's talked about. Now let's talk a little bit about how we'll be judged according to how we have built upon this foundation. So again, the purpose is to give an account for our lives. The things done for Christ will last. The things not done for Christ will burn up. Nothing is hidden from God. Remember, there's a scripture that says that our God is a consuming fire, and he will consume anything and everything that is not part or not holy, I should say. That is not, he's a holy God, so nothing can enter into his presence except that which is holy. So any works that you have built on that you think will give you merit will burn up, because there's only one thing that gets you into heaven again. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me be clear about that. I will repeat that over and over. If you do not have the blood of Jesus Christ, you will in no wise get into this kingdom. So nothing in 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15, that's part of the scriptures that I read before. The things done for Christ will last. The things not done for Christ will burn up. Nothing is hidden from God. Every secret will be brought to light and disclosed. So everything you have done will be open there, and you will know immediately, as a believer, the things that you know you were selfish and they were not things that built up the church or even your own relationship with Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, it says, "But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done, and that work, fire will show if a person's work has any value." Again, our God is a consuming fire. So confessions restore relationships, but we still have to answer on how we treated others. So a lot of this comes down to how we treat each other, how we work together as a team. But we will still have to answer for how we treat others, how we've used our gifts, that the gifts that God has given us, our abilities, our talents, for every word spoken. So watch how you talk, watch how you slander, watch what you say, how we used our money, our time, and how we ran that race. This is all part of that, the scrutinization of our judging when the eyes of the Savior, his eyes are like flaming fires, will look at us and look to everything that we have and expose everything that we have done, whether good or bad. When we build our lives, we must remember inspection is coming. So none of us will escape that inspection. But Satan, nonetheless, is the accuser of the brethren. This is what he does now, brings up our sins. And keep in mind that this chapter has nothing to do with sin. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. This has everything to do about the choices and the conduct you do to build up the kingdom. This is what this is about. Praise God, at the judgment seat of Christ, every shameful thing we have ever done will be burned up and never be brought up again. So everything you have ever done wrong, even the stuff that you thought was you're building the kingdom and there's just wood, straw, and or hay and stubble, it'll burn up. But again, you yourself will be saved. So again, praise God, at the judgment seat of Christ, every shameful thing and every other thing that you have done will be burned up and never be brought up again. In Revelation 2, verse 18, out of the New Living Translation, it says, it states here that Jesus talking to the church of Thyatira, that he says to them that he's talking about Jesus, whose eyes are like flames of fire. Those flames of fire, there's a meaning for that. Paul talks about this fire that's going to try us or even expose anything that is going into the kingdom. Nothing will go past those eyes. And nothing will get past that consuming fire of God when it comes to judging. So Jesus paid the punishment we deserve. He will wipe the tears from our eyes, even though we've done some things we shouldn't have. Those tears and those regrets will be there, even in heaven, for a short time, but then Jesus is going to wipe everything clean. We will be like him. He will finish what he started. He will present us blameless before the Father. And I thank God for that. And now, in conclusion, I will give you a hint on what materials you can use to get treasures in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, are three of them that it mentions. This is also out of the New Living Translation. The King James Version says, these three abide. That means they will stay. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. That's the faith of Jesus Christ, the hope in him, and the love that he gives us for others. That's the greatest, and the greatest of this is love. If you build your life upon these three and use those three as your guideline, you will have treasures in heaven. In Hebrews 12, 27, I don't think I gave him the scripture either, there's a shaking coming that'll shake everything. It says, all of heaven will be shaken, and the thing that'll remain, that foundation which anybody who's built upon Jesus Christ, that will remain. If your Christianity is based only on head knowledge, your foundation is not going to stand. You better know from your heart that when tough times come, you have something to stand on. And again, that is Jesus Christ. Some believers who have invested in eternity will have a lasting inheritance. Some will not have treasures in heaven because they wasted their lives. Paul urges us to take heed. What are you building? Are you building wisely? Take heed on what materials you are using to build upon that foundation. Amen.
For those of you who've been watching what's going on in the Middle East, we know that it's a quagmire. What they're doing now is filling up those hundreds of miles of tunnels with seawater. It can cause a lot of problems. So it's picking up. Americans have decided they're going to take their money from Ukraine and give it to Israel, figuring maybe they can buy them off. I don't know. I don't know what the game is with them. But we'll see. Israel will not be bought off. And they will continue investing in their situation till they have won. And the Bible teaches us they win. I read the end of the book. I know who the winner is. I love it. And we are seeing this stuff escalating. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The wars you see in the Middle East are going to get worse. And you're going to start wondering, what do we do? Well, there is a time coming when God says, it is finished for my church. I love that. I'll be finished. I'm going home. Hallelujah. I'm getting tired, actually. So I'm going home. So I'll be reading you the scriptures today that explains how that takes place. For those of you who are watching on the internet, you need bloke. Pay close attention. You got to make sure that you're ready to go home. How are you ready? You become born again by the Spirit of the law of the Lord. How do you get ready? The jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is nothing else to it. There is no church going or prayer party or denomination. Believe on the Lord Jesus, regardless from where you come from, and you shall be saved. Believe in what, Jesus? He's the one that saved you. You got to accept that as your own salvation. Once you do that, you belong to him. And you will be a partaker of this group of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that blood, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So for those of you who are dead, who are afraid of dying, you might as well get used to it unless the rapture happens. You're going to die. You're going to decay, whether you like it or not. Many people are dying. You can see celebrities slowly dying. It's on the news. We can see them. Once upon a time, they were big shots. Everybody was ogling them on TV. Now they can't talk. They can't even They can't even move right. What happened to them? The old flesh became rusty. The brain gives out. We're here for a short while. We cannot put on immortality unless we die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. That's a good one, right? We're not all going to die. We're not all going to sleep. But we shall be changed. Changed how? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and that shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed into what? Jesus was laid in a grave. He had a body. They put some ointment on it. It had it died because of shock or because God gave up the ghost. But they were able to take that body and embalm it with all sorts of spices. They were going to. They laid into a grave. It wasn't changed yet. It was just laid in there. But the Bible says we will be changed. It'll happen in a split second. Are you ready for that split second change? There's not going to be time to get on your knees and say, Lord, I worship you. You're going to have to be ready. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So you better be ready. How are you ready? You're born again by the Spirit of God. You believe in Jesus for your salvation. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. Those who have Jesus, we will never die. We may leave this body, but we're always going to be aware of where we are. We're going to know we are in heaven. We're going to be able to talk to people. It's not going to change a whole lot, except you will not have aches and pains, and you'll be able to fly. You'll be able to travel talk. That's my way of talking. Never getting into a GM. Never mind getting into a GMC and turn on the key. I think about it, and I'm there. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be quick. You can be there in a split second, or you can take it easy, just float as you go along. And you will be able to go with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Jesus is coming back. The trump will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's interesting. They'll be up before we'll be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. For those who don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, Jesus comes twice. At the beginning of the rapture, we go up to meet him. At the end of the tribulation, he comes down on the Mount of Olives. So there's two. One, And two, you have to keep it in mind. Jesus will come down where every eye will see him. They will see him descend on the Mount of Olives. At the rapture, we will be caught up. They will not see him. We will hear him. We'll hear his voice come up hither, and we'll be gone. And it's going to happen very quickly. I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you, that's going to be a jet ride I'll never forget. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Bible has the word comfort in Thessalonians for a few times. You don't read too often about it in the Bible. But in Thessalonians, where it talks about Jesus coming back, it tells you to comfort one another. Why? Because as you see the day approaching, people will become more and more frustrated because of what you see out there. We can already see it. We can see how the politicians operate. We can see how the doctors' association operates. People say they'd rather die than go to the emergency ward. Can you imagine last week in Ottawa, in Quebec, two people died in the emergency ward. What kind of emergency is that? You have to sit for one set for 12 hours. Are they going to look into it? Maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. They'll just pass it off. Well, maybe you had a heart attack. So this is what we're faced with. You cannot even trust the doctors you go to. I've heard people here say they'd rather die than go to a hospital. Isn't that terrible? That's what this world has come to. But it says we should comfort together. We should comfort each other. Jesus on the throne, he will know whom to allow to go through certain stuff. He knows. He's the one that is our anchor. He's the one that goes ahead of us. He's the one that leads us. And if we dare trust in him, we can relax in our spirit. He knows what he's doing. That's one thing for sure. Okay, now I have to try and get this technology to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath. What does that mean? We are not appointed for the tribulation. We are not appointed to God's wrath. Who died for us, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we are awake or asleep, we shall live together with him. Eventually, we'll be with him, whether we are dead or whether we are alive. It really doesn't matter. We are eventually going to be with him. 2,000 years from now, I know for a fact I'm not going to last that long. My feet are giving out. My throat is giving out. My head is giving out. It's slowly, slowly rusting away. It'll be dumped into the dirt not too long from now. But I'm telling you, 1,000 years from now, I will be able to talk to Jesus, to talk to you. Why? I will live forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as you also do. So you should edify, lift each other up, comfort each other. Don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. Why? So you can comfort yourself. If you're gonna be a bedside Baptist, you got a problem. You need a comradeschaft. You need somebody that you talk to, that you communicate with, that has your same interest. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, I had a man come visit me, and we had the best of times, even though we live miles apart, or should I say, religions apart. And we were able to communicate with one another about the Lord Jesus Christ. We were both joyful in what Jesus did for us. Can you sit down with your friend and talk to him about how Jesus saved you? Have you read the Word of God where it says God loves you? Have you read where it says in the ages to come he will show us the mystery of his grace? Have you read the scripture that simply uplifts you, where it says pray without ceasing? You know, it's so full for all of us if we only would dare to pick it up and to have communication in Christ with one another. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen.